If you want to, you can open your Bibles with me to the book of John. I'm going to be speaking today from the 5th chapter of John. This is a powerful portion of the Word, John chapter 5. Throughout this 5th chapter of John, the Lord Jesus Christ reveals His greatness and deity and eternality and power and just so many things about Himself. But here in verse 23, He says this. In John 5, verse 23, and this is my text and my subject today, that all men should honor the Son. All men should honor the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch this. Even as they honor the Father, in the same way, if you look at the verses above it, these Jews got angry with Him because He made Himself equal with God. And again, in John chapter 6, they took up stones to stone Him because He said, I and my Father are one. And they took up stones to stone Him, and He said, many good works have I done among you. For which of these do you stone me? They said, we're not stoning you because you do a good work. We're stoning you because you're a man and you claim to be equal with God. And He says here, all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. And he that honoreth not the Son with full honors and full glory and full worship honoreth not the Father who sent Him. Now in this 5th chapter, and I'm going back just a little bit. In this 5th chapter, our Lord Jesus came to the pool called Bethesda. And there was a man, most of you know this story, but let me tell it again. There was a man lying there on a makeshift bed, a portable bed that somebody took along for him. And he was lying there on this bed, lame. He'd been lying on this bed for 38 years. He'd been lame for 38 years. Think what condition he was in after 38 years of lying immobile, lame. And the Lord Jesus looked at him and asked him this question. He said, will you be made whole? And he replied, I have no one to help me. Now there was a tradition that an angel came down at a certain time and troubled the water. And the first one in the water after the angel visited the water was made whole. And he said, I don't have anyone to help me. I'm a lame man. I lie on this bed. Been here for nearly 40 years. And I've got no one to help me. And by the time I do get down, that someone's already beaten it to the water. And our Lord said to him, rise. Rise. Take up your bed and walk. And the scripture says, immediately he was made whole and took up his bed on his back, his legs so strengthened, so empowered by the Lord Jesus Christ, that he took up his bed and walked carrying that bed on his shoulder. And here's a significant statement, and it was the Jewish Sabbath day. It was the Sabbath day. So down the street he goes carrying this bed, leaping and praising God, rejoicing, and everybody pointing to him and calling attention to him there. Everybody knew him. He'd been lying there for 38 years by that pool. And these Jews, he met some of the religious fellows, the Jews from the synagogue, and they saw him carrying his bed, some of these religious Pharisees. They saw him carrying his bed, and instead of marveling at the great miracle, here's a lame man made whole carrying his bed. They said, it's not lawful for you to carry your bed on the Sabbath day. Their traditions were more important to them than this man and his happiness or health. They didn't want him violating their religious traditions. They would defend them at any cost. It's not lawful for you to carry your bed on the Sabbath day. And he replied, and this is what I want you to see. He replied. He talked back to these fellows. He said, he that made me whole, the same said to me, take up your bed and walk. I'm carrying this bed because he told me to. He that made me whole. This is what he's saying. He that loved me and cared for me when no one else did, in my weakness and infirmity, he told me to carry this bed. He that came to me in my need, when no one else could help me, he told me to carry this bed. He that spoke to me in power and grace, he told me to carry this bed and to walk. He that by his mercy made me whole, he told me to carry this bed. He that gave me the power to walk, he said to me, you take up your bed and walk. And I intend to do what he says. I intend to obey his words. I take my orders from him. And if what he says conflicts with what you think or what anybody thinks, then it makes no difference. I believe that he's the Son of God. And his word is my law. And that's what I'm saying. Honor the Son. Whatever the cost, whomever the opponent, honor the Son. He that made me whole told me to take up my bed and walk. And I intend to do what he says. Now, my friends, I want you to consider five scriptures here. There's no conflict here with the Father. There's no danger we're going to give too much glory to the Son of God, too much glory to Jesus Christ. There's no way we're going to rob God the Father of any glory by giving glory to the Son. Honor the Son as you honor the Father. That's what this scripture says here, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. If you honor the Son, you do honor the Father. Our Lord prayed that way. He said, Father, glorify me with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. So when you honor the Son as you honor the Father, you're not robbing honor from the Father, you're giving honor to the Father. Actually, he said, he that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father. You can't give Christ too much glory. You can't praise him adequately. There's no way that your tongue could ever praise him like he ought to be praised. Or you could think thoughts too highly for Christ. Or you could exalt or magnify his name. God's given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Listen to this scripture, John 15:23. He that hateth the Son hateth the Father. You have low thoughts about Christ, then you have low thoughts of God. He that hateth the Son hateth the Father also. Listen to 1 John 2:23. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. When a person puts doubts on Christ, he puts doubts on the Father. He that denieth the Son and denieth his deity and eternality and incarnation and sacrificial work, he hath not the Father. He does not know the Father. No man knows the Father but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. I'm telling you the truth. Listen to 1 John 5:10. Listen carefully to this scripture. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. And he that believeth not the Son of God hath made God a liar. Because he does not believe the record God gave of his Son. When a person, whether it's this preacher or whomever, when I put doubts on Christ, question Christ's effectual atonement, person, work, whatever about him, when I don't believe in Christ, I'm calling God a liar. Because I'm not believing what God said about Christ. It's God who said it, not you or me. In 2 John 9, listen. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Jesus Christ hath not God. He said, I know preachers who preach God and they don't preach Christ. They don't preach the true God either. Well, I know people who believe it's salvation's in a church or salvation's in the Virgin Mary or salvation's in works or salvation's in Muhammad or salvation's in Confucius or salvation's in somebody else or salvation's in family ties or heritage. And they talk about God the Father, but they don't give any glory to Jesus Christ. Whosoever abides not in the doctrine of Jesus Christ, the doctrine of His eternality, His covenant mercies, His incarnation, His righteousness, His death on the cross, His burial, His resurrection, His exaltation, His second coming. If a man does not abide in the doctrine of Jesus Christ, he hath not God. He does not know God, because he does not believe the record God gave of His Son. He's made God a liar. And the God he's talking about is not the God and Father of Jesus Christ. He's not the God of creation. He's not the God of the Bible. He's another God. We may as well take Jehoiakim's penknife and design our own God, because we're not talking about the living God. Listen, in 2 John 9, he that abides in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. The way to know God is to know Christ. The way to worship God is to worship Christ. The way to believe God is to believe Christ. That's right. What do you think of this? Listen to this. Listen to this scripture. Tell me what you think of this scripture. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. What is that? A child is born. A son is given. A child, man-child, a son. A child of earth, a son from heaven. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, who is man and God, who's son of man, son of God. And the government shall be on his shoulders. And his name, what's the name of this man-child? What's the name of this son of man, son of God? What's the name of this child and son who was given? Child born, son sent. His name is Wonderful. Secret. His name is Counselor. His name is the Mighty God. His name is the Everlasting Father. His name is the Prince of Peace. His name is Emmanuel. God with us. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ. And don't be afraid of the word doctrine. It's the teachings of Christ. It's the character of Christ. It's the truth of Christ. It's the revelation of Christ. It's the record of Christ. That's all. The doctrine of Christ is the truth about Him. And if we don't abide in Him and in the doctrine of Christ, you have not God. And he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ has the Father and the Son. Listen to the Father. Listen to him. Unto the Son, the Father saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever. Let the holy angels of God all worship him. That's the Father speaking. That's the God of heaven and earth speaking. About his Son. Unto the Son, the Father saith. God saith to the Son, Thy throne, O God, it's just one God, is forever. And let my holy angels worship. You don't worship anybody but God. Well, you worship Christ because he is God. And the apostles went up on the mountain. Peter, James, and John with Jesus Christ. They went up on the mountain with him. And the scripture says that Moses, God brought Moses back from the dead. And God brought Elijah back from heaven. And they sat there and talked. The disciples saw Moses representing the law and Elijah representing the prophets sitting there talking with Jesus of Nazareth. And they talked about, what did they talk about? They talked about his death. This was the summit meeting of all summits. The law, the prophets, and the Son of God, to whom the law and prophets bear witness. And they talked about his death. And in a moment, Moses was gone and Elijah was gone and Christ was the only one there. And the glory of God glistened upon him. His clothes glistened, the scripture said. And a voice from heaven came and said, Now, this is my Son. Hear ye him. We want to listen to the prophets. We want to listen to the law. No, you listen to him. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake to our fathers by the prophets, by the law, hath in these last days spoken by his Son. You hear him. Hear him. What I'm saying is this. What our Lord taught the disciples is this. I and my Father are one. One of them said to him, Well, Just show us the Father. Show us the Father. We'll be satisfied. He said, have I been so long time with you, and you don't know me? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. I and my Father are one. And so, my friends, without reservation, without hesitation, without apology, without fear, I boldly declare unto all of you who will hear me that Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus born in Bethlehem, Jesus who walked this earth and died on a cross, Jesus the Christ is none other than God Almighty in human flesh who came to this earth to redeem a people for His glory and for His kingdom. And there's no controversy about it. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what the Word of God teaches. That's the truth. If you don't believe that, just take your Bible and right now and throw it out the window or set it on fire. Because there's no way for any human being to know Almighty God except in Christ. He's the only revelation of God in human flesh. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's right. I'm telling you the truth. God's appointed a day in which He's going to judge this world by that man, Jesus Christ. People talk about going to the judgment, going to the judgment, going to the judgment. God the Father judgeth no man. He's committed all judgment to the Son. Judgment will be based upon who He is, what He did, why He did it, and where He is now. Judgment's going to be based entirely on how you honor the Son and how I honor the Son. And I can stand up here and brag on you, and you can brag on me, and we can brag on each other. And we can talk about our great denominations and our great programs and our great buildings and our great this, great that, and great the other. The only thing great in this world is Jesus Christ. God's going to honor the Son. And that judgment, that whole judgment, everything about it, is not going to be how many watermelons you stole or if you stole more watermelons than somebody else or how many this, that, and the other sins you did or committed. What think ye of Christ? Whose Son is He? Do you have a mediator? Do you have a redeemer? Do you have a justifier? Do you have an advocate? Do you have an intercessor? Do you have a sin offering? Do you have someone to put away your guilt? That's right. Our hope of participation in that kingdom and to be among those people out of every tribe, kindred, nation, and tongue under heaven is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to receive Him in our hearts, to honor the Son, to bow to the Son, to know the Son, to have Him call my name, to know me. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus to be Lord, and believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, God made Him Lord in Christ, thou shalt be saved. Honor the Son. Honor the Son. Now then, take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians 5. I want you to look at a scripture. I'll spend the last few minutes of this telecast on this scripture here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. Now let's look at it together. Very clear, very plain, very necessary. Number one, all things are of God. All things in creation, all things in providence, all things in salvation are of God. See that? 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18. Now what's the next line? Who hath reconciled us? Who hath brought us back into fellowship? Who hath drawn us back who went astray? Who has forgiven all our iniquities? He hath reconciled us. He hath destroyed the enmity between us and Himself, between Himself and us. He hath reconciled us unto Himself. He hath accepted us unto Himself. How? By Jesus Christ. By Jesus Christ. Not by some water they put on my head when I was an infant. Not by some promises I made at a rededication. Not by some commitments I made at a revival meeting. By Jesus Christ. You see, God's holy, and we're sinners. And God came to this world in Christ and lived for us that He might impute to us a perfect holiness and died for us that He might put away our sin. He hath reconciled us to Himself, not by our act, but by an act of Christ. Not by our works, but by a work of Christ. By Jesus Christ. Now then, and look at the next line. And He hath given to us this gospel, this word of reconciliation, this good news of reconciliation. What is the good news? What is the gospel? What is the testimony? What is the witness? It's namely, look at verse 19, namely, to wit means namely, that God was in Christ. This is what I've been saying through this whole broadcast. God was in Christ. When He was born in Bethlehem, God was born in human flesh. When He walked this earth, it was God, without controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of the angels, preached to the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. God was. This is God. That's right. He hath given us this gospel of reconciliation, namely, that Almighty God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. God was in Christ satisfying His own law, honoring His own commandments, doing His own will, glorifying His own commandments, honoring His own justice, dying to satisfy His own requirements. God was in Christ. You see, He's the only one that could honor His law. He had to be made of a woman and made under the law because He's the only one who could honor the law. What the law could not do because it was weak in the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh condemned sin in the flesh. I tell you, and let me say this carefully and you listen. You who won't bow to Christ or consider Christ Jesus or honor Christ Jesus or believe Christ Jesus or receive Him as your substitute, who's going to honor the law for you? It has to be honored. Who's going to obey God's commandments for you? They have to be obeyed. Who's going to bear the judgment and justice of God for you? It has to be borne. No one else can do it. God was in Christ, honoring His law for those who believe, satisfying His justice. God did it. He's the only one who can keep His law. He's the only one who can satisfy His justice. How could one man suffer for so many because of who he is? He's God. Listen, not imputing their trespasses to them. The word impute is charging. You ever gone down to the store and bought something and said, charge that to me. Let's put it on my account. I'll pay for it. Boy, you don't want sin put on your account because you can't pay for it. You ever bought something you couldn't pay for? Boy, it'll put you in the pit on it. I overextended my plastic card. I overextended my credit. I just can't pay. I'm sorry, I'm taking bankruptcy. Well, you take spiritual bankruptcy, you've gone to hell. And that's what we've done. We've overextended. I can't pay. I cannot pay. So God didn't charge it to me. He charged it to Christ. He can pay. He can pay. His blood can make. He came to save the chief of sinners. He's able to save to the uttermost them that come to God by Him. He's able to pay any debt. You can't overextend credit with Christ Jesus. There's no sin that He can't put away. None. Charge it to me. Not imputing their trespasses unto them, but charging them to Christ. And let me tell you, He paid it all. All the debt I owe. Sin left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And He hath committed to us this gospel. This gospel. God calls and sends preachers to preach this gospel. Some of them dare to do it. Some of them are bold enough to do it. Some of them are consecrated and dedicated enough to do it. Some of them don't care for the things of this world, and they want to honor God. They're going to preach this gospel. Whatever. They're going to dare to do it. He's committed to me this gospel, Paul said. I'm an ambassador of Jesus Christ. As though God did beseech you by me. Who's speaking? Well, Mahan's speaking. Well, that's only half of it. If Mahan's telling the truth, God's speaking. If Mahan's preaching the Bible, he's not the only one speaking. God's speaking. Because we are ambassadors of Christ. As though God did beseech you by us. How else is God going to speak to you? if he doesn't speak through a man. Be ye reconciled to God. What's he saying? Lay down your shotgun. Put down your sword. Stack your arms. Surrender. Bow to the Lord Jesus Christ. Be reconciled to God. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Now watch this last verse. Three people. He hath made him to be sin for us. He, the Father, hath made him, the Son, to be sin, to be a sacrifice for sin for us. Here's three people. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's the gospel. And he that honoreth the Son honoreth the Father. And the person who sits there, and wherever you're listening to this telecast, at whatever time, and sits there and says, it's not I'm right. It's the gospel's right. The scriptures are right. God is right. The truth is right. What that man is saying is so. I'm a sinner. God's holy. And the only one who can take care of my sins and put away my guilt and reconcile me to God and restore my soul is the Lord Jesus Christ, because he, the Father, hath made him. He was made flesh and dwelt among us. He made him to be sin for us in order that we might be made the holiness of God in him. Honor the Son.